This is great. It's Father's Day, and I'm so glad you guys come out. And you know, sometimes it's tougher to get the guys out. It looks like most of you did a really good job of getting children and so forth here. This is great, great, great. One thing I've learned over my life and over my ministry is that when a man can look back at his life, and when he smiles in his heart because he's been a good father, because his children love him, he's had a successful life. When he can look back and his children honor him, not because they're told to, not because the Bible says, you know, honor your father and your mother, but because he's honorable, he's had a successful life. And when you can add to that resume that, you know, your grandkids adore you, want to play with you, want to sleep with you, want to hang out with you, want to come see you and you play with them, well, man, I'm telling you what, I think you're at a percentile part of humanity that's above the rest. That's great. That's great. And when you find a man like that, you found a good man. You found a righteous man, but you've also found a hero. That man is a hero to people. And you know, I was thinking about this, and you see, what we're told pretty much is that the biggest battle that is going on and raged upon humanity today is the battle on the home. The enemy's coming and he's trying to attack the home. In the 21st century, that's supposed to be the biggest, baddest thing. And that's all true. We do know that the enemy is coming and he's going to attack our homes. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your home, your children. Sure, but I don't know that it's any worse in the 21st century than it was in the 20th century or in the first century. That's just part of it. But my point in that is that they make it sound like it's nearly impossible to find a righteous man, to find a good dad. You know, to find a good dad who loves his home and loves his wife and loves his kids is about impossible. That's the way it's kind of projected. And that's just not true. Listen, I know way more good men than I know bad ones. I know way more dads who love their children, love their wives, love their homes than I know sorry ones who don't. I know a lot more men who are heroes to their grandkids than those who are not. And you see, this is what the enemy wants us all to think. The enemy wants us, and society wants us all to think that. So that the next time that you get in a bad fight with your spouse or something goes wrong at home, you throw the towel in and you quit. No, that's when you fight a little harder. That's when you dig in just a little bit more. That's when it becomes a little bit more serious. Is it because what we've got to learn is, you see, what the enemy's going to try to tell you is that, okay, you know, somebody else will make you happier. You know, there's really no happy, fulfilling marriages today. There's no home that's really happy. All children are in rebellion. You know, somebody else will make you happier. The grass is greener on the other side of the fence. Let me tell you the truth. The grass on the other side of the fence needs mowing too. And what I've learned in my life and in ministering to people is that if I'll keep my grass mowed and my grass fertilized, if I keep my grass watered, I'll have as beautiful a yard as anybody else. I can have as happy a home, as great a children, as great as grandchildren as anybody else can. But I've got to mow my grass. And this is what I want to talk about today. You see, this is the kind of stuff that we're sort of fed. And this might surprise you. It does most people when I share this thought with them. I have had way more dads come knock on my study door, call me on the phone, crying and brokenhearted about their marriages and their children than I have moms and women and mothers and wives. I've had a lot more dads to contact me about their homes and marriages than I have moms. Now, this is kind of interesting. It's kind of interesting when you think about that, because, you see, here's the truth. As important as it is for the mom to work hard to keep the home together, when you find a successful home, parents that love each other, children that love their parents, grandchildren, when you find this, you found a man who's just as responsible as is the woman. It's just as much the blame, if you will. It's just as much the fault, if you will, of the man as it is the woman that the home is successful. And I know a lot more men who love their children and adore their children with an amazing love than I know those that don't. Nothing bothers me more and agitates me more than to hear about sorry men. Because to me, I just don't know that many. I know some, but I don't know many. Sure, we all go through our struggles, we all go through our battles, we all go through our times when it's tough, and the storm rages in our lives, in our homes, in our families, with our children. Yeah, we all go through that. But we should know by now that I don't care how huge the storm is, on the other side of the storm, the sun is shining. You just got to get through the storm. And if you can get through the storm, it's going to be good. It's going to be great. The Bible talks about a man, and he's my hero for today, because his name is Jairus. And the reason that he's a hero to me is because he was just a great father. And I want to share him with you, because I think all dads are heroes, or should be. We were thinking about it. I think Lance, my son, was about 8 or 10 years old when this particular event that I'm about to share with you took place. He had a school project. And so he came home and he got some clay and he made this little ball. And in this ball, he was going to make a bust of his hero. And so he put eyes in it and a nose and mouth and ears on it. And so Lance was really into Superman. That was his superhero. So we thought, it still is. and now his little one is. But at any rate, we thought that's who this was the bust of. And so we asked him, Lance, who is it? He said, it's Daddy. Daddy's my hero. And you see, this is what I want to share with you today, guys. You're heroes to your children. Jairus was a hero. Jairus was this kind of a guy. Now, the Bible says that he was the ruler of a synagogue. Now, what that would kind of relate to you and I, he was a senior pastor at a church. Probably had pastors under him, but he was the senior pastor at a church. His Bible says he was a Jew, which means that he knew God, but he had never met Jesus. He's religious, but he hadn't had a relationship with Christ yet. And he was either a Pharisee or a Sadducee. You see, back then they didn't have Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, Catholics, and all the stuff. And Life Gates. They didn't have that kind of thing then. They had Sadducees and Pharisees. So he was one or the other. And the buzz going on around town wasn't all good about Jesus. Most of the Pharisees and Sadducees didn't like Jesus, didn't appreciate Jesus. Thought he was a heretic, thought he was of the devil. But some of the buzz wasn't like that. Some of the buzz was really good. Talked about how powerful it was. If he got his hand on people, that he could heal them. He could touch them. He was a mighty man of God. And so Jairus had never met Jesus, but it came time for him too, because he was in a storm in his life, a big storm in his life. You see, he had a 12-year-old daughter, and his daughter's dying. Now, he wasn't a poor person. He had money, so surely he would have gone to the doctors, gotten the best doctors, the best care. He was religious, so he had done all the stuff, had her on the prayer request, you know. Had burned incense, anointed her with oil, offered the bull, the goat, the sprinkled ashes of the heifer, done all the religious stuff, but she still kept getting worse. And she got closer and closer to death. And it was like he'd used up all his resources except for one. And his last resource was Jesus. So he went to find him. You know where Jesus is? Have you seen Jesus? Where can I find Jesus? And he went to find Jesus. Here's my point. You see, Jairus didn't send his wife to find Jesus and bring Jesus to the home through his wife. Jairus didn't send a parishioner to go find Jesus. Jairus didn't send one of his associate pastors to go find Jesus. See, Jairus felt like that was his responsibility. He was dad. He was the father. If Jesus comes to his house, it should be through him. Jairus was a hero. He brought Jesus to his home. Whether you like it or not, it was for the specific reason for his children. He had one dying. So, he goes, have you seen Jesus? Where's Jesus? Have you seen Jesus? I'm looking for Jesus. And so he goes, and the Bible says that there was this huge crowd. I want to read it to you. It's in Mark chapter 5 and verse 22. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet. He worshipped him. Jairus got beyond his religion. He got beyond his religious buddies who put him down. And he went, and he wasn't so proudful that he couldn't worship him. He fell at his feet, and he pleaded, or we could say he prayed. He wasn't so busy that he couldn't take time for his children to pray for them and plead for them. And he pleaded earnestly with him. My little daughter. Now, guys, I want you to put on Jairus' sandals or his moccasins or whatever. And I want you to experience what he's experiencing here. Your daughter's dying. Your Cinderella. Your child. I want you to hear the crack in his voice. I want you to hear the tears coming from his heart. My little daughter, my baby, is dying. Please come, and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. And I want you guys to hear this. So Jesus went. And a large crowd followed and pressed around him. Jesus is never too busy, Dad, to go with you for your children's sake. And the longer you're a dad, you know, the longer this truth exists, that there are times when storms come. There are times when you've got to step up, Dad, and it's your responsibility to make sure Jesus gets there. Child is dying. You've done all you could. You've got all the best doctors. You've done all the medications. You've gotten the prescriptions. You've put her on the prayer chain. You've done everything you can. So, Dad, now what do you do? You maybe have a belief in God. You may be religious. But do you have a relationship with Jesus? Have you met Jesus? People say, you know, and about Jairus and about so many people, well, they just came to the Lord because they were in a bad time in life. My response is, and your point is? Yeah? Right? Hallelujah! I am so thankful that that's the kind of a God we serve, that you don't have to butcher an animal to get to God. You don't have to take ashes and sprinkle them. You don't have to do that kind of stuff to get to God. Our God is so loving and so merciful. He wants to come into your life. He wants to go home with you. He wants to be included into your children's lives. I am so thankful. You don't have to. Listen, here's the truth of the thing. Maybe you don't know Him. Doesn't matter. Because He knows you. And Jairus is a hero because he had the ability to get beyond the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religion. He had the ability to get beyond his pride. He had the ability to worship. He had the ability to pray. He had the ability to seek God for his children. And to me, that makes him a hero. He had the characteristics that I want in my life. He loved his child that much. The mightiest men I know are men who get beyond all that stuff and make certain that Jesus goes home with them. Make certain that Jesus is in that house, that Jesus touches their children. Those are the mighty men. Those are the great men. Us guys, you know, we have this thing, and we're wired this way. I want to build on a little bit. You see, we have this thing where we're the protectors, we're the guardians, and we are. God's wired us that way. That's what we bring to the table. That's what we bring to the home. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. But we have this thing where we're gonna do it in our own strength. We're gonna have the best cars. We're gonna have the best clothes. We're gonna have the best houses. We're gonna have the best doctors. We're gonna have the best all this stuff, and all that's well and good. And well, we should do that. But make sure Jesus is included. Because there's going to be some things, Dad, you can't do by yourself. There's going to be some things. But see, with Jesus, the Bible says that all things are possible. But without Him, there's going to be so many, many things that you just aren't going to be able to do. Dad, you are vital for the future of your children. Listen, everything your child needs is in their future. But you are so vital to keep them on the right path to get it. I want to read you this stat. I went fishing first part of this week. Went with a couple of my buddy preachers, and we went down there and we were having our preacher talks, you know, and Father's Day is coming up. So this stat came out, and when I got back, it was so impressive upon me, I had to look it up and find it myself. So I want to read this to you. It's from Paul Faulkner in a book that he wrote called Achieving Success Without Failing Your Family. Put it up, please. He reports that if both father and mother go to church, 72% of the children will go when they are grown. 72%. Now, if only father goes, that figure drops slightly to 55%. But now watch what happens. But if only the mother goes to church, only 15% of those children will go when they are grown. That means that 85% of those homes don't follow Christ if dad doesn't go. Dad, you are so vital. You're a hero. There's a hero inside of you. And it's so vital that you get beyond your religious beliefs, that you get beyond what your friends say about church, that you get beyond anything holding you back, that you worship Jesus Christ, that you plead and you beg and you pray for your children. It is so vital. It's no wonder that the Bible really does say, fathers, raise your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Mom, if you've got a husband who has brought Jesus home to your home, you have a supernatural man. You have a hero. You have a prize. And if you're a smart woman, you will be good to him. Amen. Come on, buddies, get with me here. Because one day he's going to be your hero. And one day he's going to be the hero to your children. He's a prize. He's a prize. It's interesting how this story rolls out. I want to talk to you about that a little bit because it's in this that we see more of the hero. It's in Jairus. Jesus is going with Jairus to his home. Jairus is taking Jesus to his home to touch his child. And there's these interruptions. And it's interesting. The Bible says there's this crowd that's pressing in on Jesus. And in this crowd, there is this woman. And she's an unnamed woman. She's just called the woman with the issue of blood. And she's been bleeding for a long, long time. And she's pressing in. And she's got it in her head that if she can just touch Jesus' garment, she's not going to interrupt him. She's not going to take any of his time. If I can just touch his garment, then I can be healed. And so she presses in. The Bible says that she touches his garment. And immediately Jesus stops in his tracks and says, "Who touched me?" Now, got to make sure you hang with me here. We're going to heal this girl that's dying. And Jesus is all concerned about, "Who touched me?" And say, "Iris is right here. What difference does it make who touched you? Let's go." And Jesus will not move. He's not going anywhere. "Who touched me? Who touched me?" The disciples say, "What do you mean who touched me? Everybody's touching you. What do you mean?" "Yeah, but somebody touched me." And he would not go until he found the woman who did. And then once he found the woman who did, he got a 12-year history on this woman. All the doctors she had been to, all the money she had spent, the severity of her sickness, her bleeding. He would not go. "All right, Dad, what do you do now?" "I'm going insane. I am saying, what are you doing? Come on. My daughter is dying. Let's go. She's healed. Who cares how much money she spent?" Come on, Jazz. Come on, you with me? Yeah. See, but Jairus didn't do that. Bible doesn't say he did anything. He just waited his turn. He just stood there, watching all this going on. Having his patience. You see, this impressed me. Because I have a tendency to be impatient sometimes. And so this impressed me. See, he is a guy who has himself under self-control. No, don't lose the focus. We're going to heal my daughter. And I'm getting this all confused. So he's got himself under control, but then Mark chapter 5, verse 35 says, while Jesus was what? Still talking to this woman. This unnamed woman. While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. Your daughter is dead. Why bother Jesus? Why bother the teacher anymore? I want to say this now, and I'll work on it a little bit more in a little bit. But listen, dads, never stop bothering Jesus for your children. Never. I don't care how bad it looks. I don't care what you hear. I don't care what they've done or what you've been told they've done. Never stop bothering Jesus for your children. And the Bible says that while he was still talking to her, she died. We could have gotten there. We could have been there. We could have saved her. And you're talking to this woman. See, Jairus had the ability to keep himself under control even in extreme situations. And us dads, it's so easy to push our buttons. Am I right? I mean, some of those tiniest little things get us so upset. And we don't really realize that while I'm getting upset, I should be learning. I should be observing. I should be doing what Jairus is doing, standing here, watching, taking this in. I have your story in here. I'm not going to get into it right now, but just quickly. There's been so many times in my life when I would get so upset over something, and then it would just kind of, I would see God kind of doing something in my life, making me realize that you know what? You were doing this, and I was impatient about it, but really, you were working something inside of me. You see, what God was doing here wasn't just taking time with this woman. He was doing something inside of Jairus. Bible says in Mark 5:36, I love it. Ignoring what they said. Jesus just ignores bad stuff. Ignoring what they said. They said the girl's dead. Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, don't be afraid. Just believe. And then he said, okay, I just want Peter, James, and John to go with me now. Everybody else go away. He wouldn't let it be a circus. I love it. Jesus does not listen to negative stuff. And we shouldn't either, especially when we're looking for a miracle. Because what negative stuff does is bring you fear. And it steals your faith. And Jesus said that. He says, listen, ignore that. Ignore that. Fight off fear. Hold on to your belief. Fight it off. You know, I'm thinking, excuse me. I'm out of here. I'm not following you. I'm leaving church. If you can't go with me to get my daughter, and you taking all this time with this woman, and my daughter's dying, I'm out of here. What do you mean? Hold on to my faith. What do you mean, don't be afraid? My daughter's dying. My world's just falling apart. And you're standing here asking this woman how much money she spent on doctors. That's not what Jairus did. Jairus was able to do exactly what Jesus told him to do. Exactly. which makes any man a hero. See, Jairus had the supernatural ability to do exactly what Jesus said. He joined in with Jesus. He ignored what they said. He fought off fear, and he held on to belief. So why did Jesus take so much time with this woman while his daughter died? Well, you see, this woman and Jairus could relate one to the other. Just as Jairus had been to all the doctors, so had this woman. As just as this woman had spent all the money on doctors and looking for a healing, so had Jairus for his daughter. As this woman was a Jew, surely she had done the sacrifices, surely she had done all the stuff. Well, so had Jairus. He could relate to this. And all this woman did was touch his garment. And she was totally, instantly healed. If touching his garment will heal somebody, what will happen if he lays his hand on them? And he was able to pump his faith up. Listen to me, Dad. There's going to be times in your life when you've got to fight off faith. You've got to ignore the negative. And you've got to focus on the positives of Jesus. And you've got to hold your faith because your children won't be able to believe. Your home will be in a turmoil and they won't be able. You have got to have the ability. See, that's what us dads bring to the table of life, to the table of the home. We're the protectors. We're the guardians. We take care of stuff. We ward off fear. We take care of our families. We fight that stuff off. We keep things positive. And you can keep them positive if you know this kind of stuff. Don't go negative. Keep it positive. Keep things working in the way they're supposed to be working. Think about things the way they're supposed to be thought about. Keep your faith up. And Jairus did this. Jairus got it in him. Jairus got it, and his faith was pumped because his daughter needed Jairus' belief. Jairus is the hero here, not Jesus. God's working. So, Dad, listen. Sometimes it seems like everybody's getting blessed but you. Everybody's getting their prayers answered but you. No, no, no. God's doing something in you. He's developing your faith. Because there's a day coming when you're going to have it. Your child's not going to be able to believe. Your wife's not going to be able to believe. Don't leave church. Don't leave Jesus. Don't stop praying. Don't stop reading your word. You're going to get your blessing if you can do what Jesus said do. Luke chapter 8, verse 52 says, "Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning." In these days, they just about hired professional mourners and wailers. And they were doing a good job. They were wailing and they were mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She's not dead, but asleep." And they laughed at him. When they finally got to Jairus' house, all the wailing and all the mourning was going on because the girl was dead. They knew she was dead. Here's where I go again. Listen, I don't care how bad it looks, Mom and Dad. I don't care how bad it looks, Dad. Never give up on your child. Never. Never stop bothering Jesus for your child. We have a situation in our family that I related to with this week as I was thinking about it. I was thinking about this thought, you know. Listen, we have a parent and there's these two children and they're just like they're wasting their lives away. And so the rest of the family mourns and wails and says, "Why are you doing this?" But you know what? That parent, that mom, every single week she goes to church. Every single week she comes down and she prays for those two kids. She never stops bothering Jesus for those kids. We know, and I got so convicted about this. I've got to stop wailing and mourning for her and start agreeing with her and bothering Jesus. But never stop bothering Jesus for your children. People are going to ridicule your kids. People are going to talk about them. See, they don't. All they know is what they see. They don't know what Jesus' plans are for that child. You don't even know what Jesus' plans are for that child. But we do know this. He said, "Ignore the negative, fight off fear, don't be afraid, and believe." And if you'll do that, He's going to raise that child up. We all heard about how a mother and a grandmother's prayers are so powerful. You know, the child may go wayward and spend most of his life in wayward ways. But the prayers of a grandmother and the prayers of a mother, and I'm not making little of that. They're one day they click in, and one day they bring them back. And that's good. But what about a dad? What about a dad who fights off fear in the family? What about a dad who will not tolerate negative? What about a dad who believes for their family? What about a dad that will stand strong for the family? Isn't that just as important? Yeah. Our kids, they know their mom will go to the ends of the world for them. She will do anything for them or for their children. They know that. But you know what? As long as I'm around and as long as I'm alive, they are not afraid of nothing. They know that Dad's going to take care of them. They always want to know, what does Dad say? What does Dad think? Because that's what we bring to the plate, men. We bring security. We fight off fear in our homes. We bring belief in that home. We keep it positive. That's what a hero does. That's what J. Iris did. I want to make sure, Dad, you know, and I'm telling you today, there's a hero in you. There's a hero in you. Luke 8:54 says this, but he took her by the hand and said, my child, get up. Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. And her parents were astonished. I want to tell you all today, God's going to do something in your children that will even astonish you. And all you got to do is get Jesus to take their hand. When He takes their hand, they get up. When He takes their hand, a new spirit comes in them. When He takes their hand, He'll feed them from the tree of life, not from the tree of good and evil. When He takes their hand, they'll walk through their future with everything they ever need. When He takes their hand. But let's give credit to where credit is due today. The hero here is Daddy. Oh, I know Jesus healed her. But Jesus would have never gotten there had it not been for Daddy. And Daddy had to fight all this stuff off to do this. Daddy's the hero. Daddy's the one that brought Jesus. And sir, you and me, we've got to understand this. We've got to get past how we feel about church and how we feel about religion. We've got to get past our religious buddies. Our buddies who don't want us to be close to Jesus. We've got to get past that. We've got to get past our impatience. We've got to let the Lord work inside of us to develop faith for our families and faith for our children. We can't be listening to those that bring in those bad news stuff. We can't be listening to that stuff because we can't give up on our children. We got to get past the mourners and the grievers. They only know what they see. They don't know what God's going to do in my child's life. We got to get past that stuff. Because see, when you get past all that stuff, you get past death. And you bring life to your home. And your children live. I was thinking about it. I wonder now, what does J. Iris' daughter think of her dad? You think she thinks he's a hero? What does J. Iris' wife think of her husband? You think she thinks he's a hero? I started our talk by talking about when a man looks back at his life and he knows and he can smile in his heart and he knows he's been a great father. He's been a successful man. And when he knows that his children, grandchildren adore him and want to spend time with him and play with him, he's at the top of humanity. When his children honor him, not because it's just the right thing to do, but because he's an honorable person. I add one more thing. When your wife loves you, you're a hero. Not only are you a hero to your children and to your wife and to your grandchildren, you're a hero to God. Sir, there's a hero inside of you. I just want to tell you, you're amazing. You're supernatural. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for men like Jairus. Got past all the things of life that deter us from coming to Jesus. Put down his pride. Unbelieving friends. Got past his consumption with time. Spent time praying for his children. Got past his impatience. Got past the bad news. Got past the mourners. Was able to bring life to his home. Thank you, Lord, that LifeGate Church is full of those kind of men. Thank you, Lord. I am so happy to say I know more Jairuses than I know of sorry men. I thank you, Lord, for these guys. And I want them blessed. Heads bowed, your eyes closed. You know, most of you here are great, great dads. But maybe you, along with me, go through these times where you just get impatient. And God's trying to teach you something. But you get all hot and bothered and things upset you. And we miss the lesson that God's trying to teach us. And therefore we miss being a hero. If that's you, maybe you want to be a better dad. Maybe the Lord's speaking to you. Maybe there's something happening inside of you right now. And Jesus is saying, listen, I really want to do something through you for your children. In a brand new way. I want you to be the one who takes Jesus home with you. If that's you and you want to be a better dad and you don't want to let impatience get in your way anymore, along with me, would you raise your hand and just let me pray for all of us guys? I see your hands. I see hands everywhere. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for these wonderful, supernatural men. They love you. And Lord, they want to be a hero to their children and a hero to their wives and a hero to their grandchildren. So Lord, I ask you today to bless them and be with them. Head still bowed and eyes closed. Now, here's the deal. You see, some of you have gotten away from God. You believe in God, but you're not having a relationship with Jesus. And your home's a turmoil. Your home's a mess. Your children are dying. Figuratively. They're not in good shape. And it gets darker and darker and darker every day. See, and it's not going to change until you go and find Jesus. It's not going to change up until you go and bring Jesus home with you. It's your responsibility. So maybe you've never received Him and you've never had a relationship with Him, or maybe at one time you had a relationship with Him, but you just got too far from Him. And now death's in the home. He wants to fix this for you today. He wants to go home with you. He wants to meet your wife. He wants to meet your children. But He wants to do it through you. Mom, some of you moms aren't where you need to be with God either. So let's include you in this thought. You've gotten away from the Lord. You need to get Jesus in the home. It's best if Dad does it, but hey, if he doesn't, you step up. If that's you, and you just know you're not having the relationship with God that you need to have, if that's you today, would you right where you're sitting, raise your hand and just let me pray for you. Would you slip your hand up right now, right where you're sitting? I see a hand. One in the back. Any others? One right here. Another one. Any others? Let me see. See a hand back there.